I couldn't be more excited about football being back and camps underway. By the way, when are you making your way to the Falcons? Do you know when you're going to be there?
I think it's August 4th. Okay. I think it's the 4th.
All right, good deal. Because people were asking me, actually, because they heard you say it on the show, and they were like, when's he going to be up here? I said, I'm not sure what the date is. Hey, man, Mike and I started the show talking about Penix saying that they could have or potentially be the best offense in the league. He's somewhat still a rookie, right? Three games under his belt, but he's going into his second year. Is this too much? Should he be saying this? Is that too much to put out there? He says, if everything goes right, we should be unstoppable. We played the soundbite. And some people are like, wow, this is big for Michael Penix. He's only played three games. What do you think?
No, I don't think that's far-fetched. I think if you're trying to be one of the best units in the National Football League, you need to be the best unit in your division, right? Right. That's the first major step. Now, if you go back to what we saw in 2024, the best offensive skill positions and totality, entire offense, came from Tampa in terms of the consistency in which they played and just being overly productive. So that's the first hurdle for Penix and his offensive teammates. Become the most dominant unit in your division. Because if you don't do that in the division, you have no shot of being of stating that claim in the National Football League. And the final thing I say with him making that statement, why I don't think it's far-fetched, is because, number one, when you look at the prolific offenses in the National Football League, they do two things well. They throw the ball well, and they run the ball well, which will lead to what? Points. So if you look at Bijan Robinson continuing to take steps in the right direction, he should be unstoppable, not just in the running game, but also in the passing game. If Drake continues to take that step to being that bona fide wide receiver one option like he was a year ago, that helps the offense. Darnell Mooney being the ultimate number two. And the main caveat is tight end production.
Mm-hmm.
They've been missing that.
Right.
If Kyle Pitts can live up to the billing this year, that could definitely make that statement a realistic thing in terms of what he could do. And that's why I say it's not far-fetched.
And, B, we were talking about it earlier. He was sort of pumping up his offensive line, saying we got a great offensive line. And not to cast shade, okay, well, it's not like a Russell Wilson comment where you just kind of roll your eyes. But here's a guy who's 25. He's been a leader on every team he's been on. And basically setting the tone in a subtle way, like, hey, these are my guys. I got their back. It's my team. Because he still has Kirk Cousins here. I think nothing but good things come from that kind of talk.
No, that's the maturation process with a guy like Penix, because as you guys stated early on, he's kind of a rookie, but he doesn't handle himself as a rookie. You know, when you guys hear him speak, you don't look at a guy who's trying to figure things out. You hear a guy that is very, very confident in his skill set, but he also is confident in the coaches and the personnel that's surrounding him. So in terms of talent, you know he has it, right? Now you want to see him just take command of the offense. And it sounds like he's doing that early on in the training camp period with him taking all the reps with the ones, commanding the huddle, so he can be able to orchestrate the type of drives that will get fans to stand up when they're watching them play this season.
We're talking with Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. While we're talking that and saying the Steelers, I know you saw what happened yesterday, right? I know you saw what happened.
Here we go.
What? I'm just saying. I mean, first play of camp and you throw a pick?
Training camp highlight you're trying to – you want to reference right now. I want to hear this one.
First play of training camp. He's in the shotgun. Ready, set, Aaron Rodgers pick, first play. Come on, B.
It happens. Know that. You know that. But we live in a day and age now that everything is magnified and is, and is talked about. You know what I mean? And – I'll say this, even though that's not the first start you want, it's the first start you want for the defensive side.
Oh, okay.
See, positive. He's spinning a positive.
Okay. All right.
It's a positive. And iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
When you look at it like this, when you look at great teams, right? Let's utilize the Eagles for an example from 2024. Offensively, what did the Eagles do well? They ran the ball well, right?
Right.
And because of how well they ran the football, guess who also was a dominant unit? Their defensive line. They saw each other daily, weekly, in practices. So I spin that way in a positive, and that was the first rep. You know, Aaron just got there. So, you know, he's still trying to figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
But don't worry. The same way they highlight the interceptions that he might throw, that he did throw, make sure they highlight the touchdowns as well.
Yeah, Jackson Dart did the same thing, by the way, for the Giants, Carl, please. It is a Dukes and Bell here talking about the NFL training camp.
He's not the starter.
No, it's fun, but you said, as B says, it's going to be magnified. Speaking of Steelers, former Steeler George Pickens yesterday, 2 days ago, down in Dallas, throwing shade at his former OC, Arthur Smith, asked about the offense for the Cowboys. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to run better plays, for sure. Yeah. So, is he going to mature? Is he going to flourish in Dallas, or is he going to be more of the same? Not living up to full potential.
Yo, Mike Carr, he should flourish. He should. He should live up to the billing. I'll say this now for all of us, being football fans, one thing we know for sure, Dak Prescott would be the best quarterback he's played with in his professional career. Mm-hmm. And that's no knock on the other quarterbacks, but just in terms of who Dak Prescott has become in the National Football League, for all the negative pub he receives in terms of playoff mishaps, whatever. Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. So that should help George Pickens. Secondly, CeeDee Lamb will be the best opposite wide receiver he's ever played with as well. Mm. Right?
Opportunities.
So,
right.
No question. And you can't debate that. You can't. So no, I think George Pickens, man, he should excel in this offense, man, because if that offensive line can really do a good job in protecting the quarterback, when you got CeeDee Lamb, who's a bona fide wide receiver, one elite-like player, you can't forget about Jake Ferguson at the tight end position. Man, George Pickens should have a great year, which is great for him financially speaking because this is a contract year for him as well.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you about these contract situations. And B, I know you've not necessarily maybe yourself. I'm not sure if you experienced it, but you played around guys. From just a teammate standpoint, you hear all these guys standing up for their guys. Dak talking about Micah. Joe Burrow talking about Trey Henderson. Like, hey, we just need to get this done. How difficult is it on the team? Or is it just, hey, when you're going through it and your boy's going through it, it is what it is?
It's difficult because the players that you mentioned are difference makers. It's different because now, when practice is over, the microphone is in front of your face and you're answering questions about your teammate. It becomes a distraction to a degree. And the final thing you look at, too, both guys are more than deserving of being paid, especially Micah Parsons, who's younger. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, what are we doing? What are we waiting for? And this Trey Hendrickson saga, oh, my goodness. It's that right there. Okay, Micah is going to get paid. For whatever reason, Jerry loves to wait until the 25th hour to get these contracts done, maybe to steal headlines because they love headlines in Dallas. With Trey Hendrickson, I don't know when he's going to get paid unless he takes lower of his market value. Unless. Mm-hmm. So this is a situation for Cincinnati where it could really be drawn out because clearly they've predicated more money to the offensive side than the defensive side, and the defense was horrendous a year ago. Micah's going to get paid. You're not paying Micah Parsons. Jerry can say whatever you want to say about what he's done in the past with contracts. Number 11 is better than any player you've paid over the last 4 or 5 years in that organization. And you know he is a difference maker, regardless of only playing the defensive side. So Micah's going to get paid. Trey Hendrickson, to be determined with that situation.
It is our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You played in the NFL for a number of years, mostly with the Steelers. Guys around the league, you know, when it comes to either free agency, there are teams that maybe they try to avoid, like the plague. Reason I bring it up, Carl and I were having some fun looking at the comments of the Browns owner, Mike Brown, talking about the Shamar Stewart contract. Another example, should be done by now, basically saying the fifth year is the holdup. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. What do guys think when they hear stuff like that from an owner?
And that's not professional. That's not professional, first and foremost. And it's disrespectful as well, also. And it's no surprise now, when you look at Cincinnati, they've been a bottom dweller mostly over the last 2 decades, mostly.
Right.
Inconsistencies. And when you're at the top and you say things like this, it's a reflection of the overall concept. I always say this in terms of business, in terms of sports, whatever landscape you're a part of, good things happen to good people. When you have good people around you, you have good results. Good energy, good results. for him to sit here and say that, he could be sitting in jail. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, what are we doing? There are so many things you can take from that statement in terms of it being unprofessional, you know, in terms of it being clearly unfair. You know, you could even throw, you know, just the demographic of where right. Shamar Stewart is from
right.
into that equation as well. The background, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense for you to sit here and justify why the contract hasn't been done, the language of the contract. Come on, man, that's disrespectful. And I can tell you this much, too, for the leaders on that team, right? The right. leaders on that team, the money guys on that team, they should definitely step up and speak up on behalf of their teammate, because you don't handle people like that. You don't do people like that, regardless if you're cutting the checks, if you don't. Treat people how you want to be treated, regardless of what your title is. And sometimes, and you guys know this, in the world, in the adult life that we all live, sometimes people allow their egos to be able to allow their mouth to be loose-lipped, to say whatever they want to say, because they have all the chips in the middle of their table. And that ain't right.
I agree, 200%. And I wish more guys would stand up. But I think it speaks to the organization, which is why right. we weren't surprised when Mike Brown's, you know, he said this, 90-year-old Mike Brown said this, and we were like, really? But it doesn't give him a pass. I agree. One last thing. You got rings. When you won those rings, did you wear them? Because Jalen Hurts is keeping the past behind him. He is not going to be wearing his ring anytime soon. He's not wearing his Super Bowl ring. He says, I moved on to the new year. Motivation? How did you look at the ring?
Yo, that's great to hear from Jalen Hurts. For me, no, I don't wear mine. The only time I wear mine now, guys, is probably around Super Bowl week. You know, when I'm at the Super Bowl site, right. you know, I'm talking. Clearly it's relevant because that's why everyone is gathered there for the Super Bowl. But when I played, I put it up. I saw it, and then I didn't look at it for – I mean, my first Super Bowl, guys, after we got our rings in the offseason in 2006, I probably didn't look at it again until the 2008 season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like you see, you know you have it because it's always there. You know, one thing about when you win a championship, you will always have that. You know, when you play the game of football, you will eventually become a former player. But you're never a former champion. So I always kind of knew I had it. But then for us in Pittsburgh, it was like on the next one. Right. The first one makes you want the next one even more. It creates a newfound hunger. And I love hearing that from Jalen Hurts because, you know, he gets – criticized from different angles, but one thing we don't celebrate, I think, enough with him is just how rooted and grounded he is, dialed in, and also, right. too, leadership as well.
Right.
I love that about that.
He is, by the way, because people are talking about him not carrying his team and all this BS.
And that's Cam. That's Cam speaking.
He is five seasons in. He's made a couple of Super Bowls. There are only one, two, three, four of the quarterbacks who've done it. Brady, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson in their first five seasons, Patrick Mahomes and Kurt Warner. So he joins that crew. Dude, Jalen, since he's taken over, is 45-17 over the last four seasons. There's not an organization that wouldn't take that. Right. No, there's not one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When you look at Jalen Hurts, and I know it's been a very, very hot topic, you know, with some of you know, former NFL players kind of going back and forth with Jalen Hurts about who he is and where he should be ranked. In the top echelon of quarterbacks, his numbers speak for itself. And then when you say, well, he has a lot surrounding him, well, if you remove him from that same situation, what are they? Because when they had Kenny Pickett in the game, when Jalen was knocked out with that concussion and missed a few games, the offense didn't look the same. And the last time I checked also, he led the Eagles to a Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
That's true.
And right. actually, in that Super Bowl, yes, they lost, but he outplayed
Mahomes
in the first Super Bowl.
Right. Well, my thing Brian, real quick, and we got to wrap. But everyone knows what Cam accomplished, and no one's ever going to take that away from him. He was an MVP in this league. I just feel he gets in his bag over other guys that are achieving. I mean, hell, Joe Montana had a great team around him. Everybody who wins had a great team. You know, maybe Cam, you could argue he had a lesser supporting cast, but still, there was a hell of a team, hell of a defense that year.
He did. And when Cam won that MVP, no question, it was almost like a reflection of what he did at Auburn. He did more with less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Cam and what people have to understand, when he speaks on what he speaks on, he gives you his why. You might not agree with his why, But there's no reason to go ahead and make it a bigger deal, in my opinion. You know, and so, like, when you have these discussions, it's like barbershop talk. You go in a barbershop, people give their opinion. It's our job as debate individuals that, hey, well, give me your top 10. Like if he's not in your top 10, well, let me hear your top 10. Because if you have Jared Goff above Jalen Hurts, the same thing you're saying that's hurting Jalen Hurts, you can say the same thing about Jared Goff. Look who Jared Goff has surrounding him.
Yeah.
They're arguably the best play caller we've seen over the last 4 years.
Loaded.
Great wide receivers, great offensive linemen, one of the best right tackles in the game, great running backs, a feisty defense. So what are we saying? So that's how I look at it. But in my top 10, Jalen Hurts is a top 10. And in my top 5, I would have Jalen Hurts in my top 5.
Me too.
Me personally.
I'm with you. B, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week at camp. And have a great weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.